Sunday night, Celebrity Apprentice night. A little bit of a surprise. A little bit of the dark side of Marley Manhunt. I'm Reed Kerr. With me, as always, lovely wife Kimberly.
Hello.
Howdy. Were you surprised? To begin with, we lost Jose Canseco.
Yes, I was so saddened by that. They're going to really miss him just sitting on the couch doing nothing.
Well, he played
catch.
He
contributed so much.
Canseco, I always look at the teams, at all of the people on the teams, as what can they bring in terms of what can they raise in terms of money, who are their friends who will donate money, and who means good ratings for the show. Canseco adds nothing in any of those.
Well, exactly. You know, the difference in him and like Richard Hatch is Richard Hatch really, he did try to work hard. Mm-hmm. He tried to contribute in other ways. He knew that he really couldn't bring in any money.
Right.
He, you know, apparently no one really likes him. And I didn't really understand that when they kept saying that he was a big star. I mean, people do think of Richard Hatch when they think of Survivor, but they're just a bunch of reality stars. Right. They don't have money.
He's the naked guy who cheated on his taxes.
Right.
That's it. He doesn't go to the parties. He doesn't have a great, you know, Rolodex full of friends. He's just a guy we've heard of.
Right.
Yeah, he was in trouble already. And Canseco knows a lot of people, but they all hate him.
Right. And he mentioned that like in week one when they did their pizza challenge, and he'd even mentioned that, you know, it wasn't like he could call the Yankees up and have them come donate some money. So
So he
was worthless.
Something bad happens to his dad. His dad gets sick and he has to go tell Donald Trump he's leaving. Or maybe he sent his twin brother Ozzy to do that. I don't know. Did you see that story? I showed you that story, didn't I?
You did.
If you missed it, Jose Canseco had his...
Do you think maybe they were switching off during the whole season of Celebrity Apprentice? Which one of them do you think's the lazy one?
I think they're both lazy. Hey, okay, Jose Canseco had a celebrity boxing thing in Florida, and he was supposed to be paid 10 grand for it, and the guy had given him 5 grand as an advance, and Jose shows up the day of the fight, and he goes up to the promoter and he goes, I need my money. He goes, well, I'll pay you when it's done. He goes, I need my money now. I need it in cash. And the guy goes, that's not how we do these things. I'll give you the check afterwards. And so then come to find out the guy that showed up for it looked just like Jose Canseco, but with no tattoos, which means it's Jose's brother, Ozzy. How made out of stupid is that if you send your untattooed brother to pick up your check for you to pretend he's you? Because Jose doesn't have like a tattoo on his arm that says mom. He has his entire torso tattooed. Like the bass player for Rage Against the Machine. He is covered in upper body tattoos. And he boxes, not well, but boxes. And that's, everybody knows that. Except for this one promoter who learned the hard way. He was thinking back, he goes, did I ever actually meet Jose Canseco? I have to think now. Because if he's wearing sleeves, you can't really tell because Jose and Ozzy look exactly alike.
Well, I was just reading an article on the internet about that. Mm. And Jose is insisting that the promoter knew that Ozzy was going to be showing up because that he is suffering from depression related to his dad's death. And the promoter, of course, says that that's not the case. He didn't think that Ozzy was going to be coming. And he said that he even gave him the money up front to help with the costs of his dad's funeral.
Mm-hmm. Here's my problem with what Jose is saying. Ozzy Canseco is not worth $10,000 for spare parts, much less to show up as a celebrity boxing. Jose Canseco, you're not a baseball fan, so and I understand. Jose Canseco was a legitimate star in baseball, and he was, you know, primarily because of steroids and horrible investment decisions. Ozzy Canseco was nothing. Ozzy Canseco was, he was never a star. He was just the twin brother of Jose. He ain't worth $10,000. There's no way anybody would pay $10,000 to have Ozzy Canseco come fight, even if he swept the place and gave you your deposit back when it was over.
Well, I think that the point that they're making is that the guy was supposed to be in on it. Oh. Not that he was going to be promoting this fight as Ozzy Canseco. Just that he knew Jose wouldn't really be the one coming there and that they could still claim that it was Jose.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. You can't. It would be like having Mike Tyson come fight somewhere and the guy that shows up doesn't have the facial tats that everybody knows.
Speaking of Mike Tyson.
Mike, was that a new video on Funny or Die? We're talking about Wayne Brady. I don't actually even think he was singing. I think it was just a full-on
lip sync
to Bobby Brown's
Every Little Step.
Every Little Step. With Mike Tyson and Bobby Brown in it. So you got two guys that do need a paycheck showing up for that. Plus Wayne Brady, who I don't know how his investments were. Probably
needs a paycheck too.
His show's been off the air a little while.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get back to the Apprentice. The one thing about this that gets me, Jose Canseco is in on this, and let's pretend for a minute that Jose is not a giant pitcher of douche. Let's pretend he's a normal guy. His father takes ill, and he does not expect him to live. And you know, we know now he didn't. You got to stop what you're doing and like call the camera guy and the boom operator guy and go into like schedule a time with Trump and sit down and explain to your Lord and Master Donald Trump why you can't be at the rest of the tapings. You can't. It would be like if that same thing happened to you, you wouldn't have to show up at work and have them film a little thing with you talking to your boss. My mom's sick. I got to leave town. But Jose Canseco's to get that last paycheck. He's got to show up, walk into the boardroom, get teary eyed and stomp off.
He got some money for his charity.
He did. He got money for his charity and he probably asked for
cash.
And
that's more than he ever would have got if he would have stayed on the show.
He was not going to make anything.
You think anybody would have ever picked him as project manager?
No. And that's the thing about this show. You can be on it forever and really have no positive other than picking up, you know, a paycheck for working scale for a week. If you're never project leader or if you never win one of the little side challenges like LaToya tonight won best hat, you don't make anything for your charity. You mention them on television. That's about it. So you are you there to play or are you there to win money?
I think some of them are there just there to earn some money for people. And, you know, putting their name back out there, you know, making sure people know that they're still alive.
Oh, yeah. And some of those, we do see some of those. Okay, now this week was really successful. Everybody seemed to have a good time with it. They did the paintings.
Which were pretty horrible.
They were really horrible. Yeah. But
they didn't expect them to be anything great.
Before we do that, can we do the meatloaf thing?
Oh, wow.
That was some Charbroil meatloaf right there. He went from zero to batshit like that.
Well, it started out earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of thought he overreacted to Gary asking, you know, Meatloaf had several canvases in his buggy when they were at Michael's.
Right.
Gary is like, are you buying canvases for all of us? He wasn't saying, are you buying canvases for me? He was just, you know, basically saying, are you buying everybody's canvases? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Meatloaf immediately gets kind of ticked off, which I realized that it was kind of building. Gary is very annoying and he's been annoyed with him for a while. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I thought he acted a little bit crazed at that point.
Here's where I get on that. I've got a friend, one of my oldest, dearest friends, and I love him dearly. But there are times when if you're around him, he weighs upon you. Maybe not so much anymore, but there were times where just being around Tim.
Does he have three names?
Of course.
Does he have the name of a serial killer?
My wife kids me because I refer to all of my friends by all three of their names because two of them have the same first name. And so we've just kind of done, it's a very rhythmic thing, but you think it makes them all sound like serial killers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So this friend, Timothy Lynn Robertson, Tim, can be abrasive at times. Not so much now that he's older, but that would happen and I would be around Tim and I would just put up with it because he's a great friend of mine. But eventually I would start to wear down and Tim would say something totally innocuous, totally, you know, it'd be a separate day from the day that he pissed me off, but it had just been stewing with me. And like the next day, Tim would say something that no one would get upset at and I would just flip my gourd and yell at him and everybody else would be like, whoa, why is Reed the jackwagon here? Why is Reed so angry to poor Tim who was just sitting there?
Offering him a piece of gum.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, take that gum and jam it. Yeah, you know, that I've seen that happen before. I've been in that. So I understand where Mr. Loaf was going with it. And it did make for great promos because we've been seeing that one since before the first show.
It did, and I actually felt bad for him that it turned out that he was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought Gary had his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because that's what Gary does, you know?
Gary's just like, it was in my basket. But I was actually disappointed in the fact that once they found the bag, Meatloaf's bag that had all of his stuff in it, I understand being worked up at that point, like you're not really ready to like apologize. But even later when he talked to Gary and was just like, you know, that's not the way I should have handled it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He never came out and said, I was totally wrong.
Right.
You know, you didn't even have my stuff. He's basically acting like, well, you had my stuff, but I shouldn't have acted that way. And even in the boardroom, he never came right out and said, yeah, I was totally wrong. You know, my stuff was in a bag. I just hadn't found it yet. And I, you know, totally flipped out on him for no reason.
That was a little weird. Could have been the editing. They could have edited it that way. Remember, this isn't reality. It's television. That's true. So, but that was at least entertainment. For the rest of it, it didn't really seem like that much. Everybody did well. There were no big... Am I missing anything? Any big like holes in the show?
Well, I don't know what that Hope girl did. I mean, she just...
She's disposable labor. She is a Playboy playmate, and I am not familiar with her at all. She is the female Richard Hatch. When they need... Next week, she'll be gone. And they'll get down to the name people who can raise money and have celebrity friends and who you can put on a promo.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if the women would have lost this week, it probably would have been her that went home. Because I don't know who else it would have been.
She's the only one with no name, you know. And she doesn't do anything either. It's not, you know, not everybody knows the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, it's, you know, it's
except the other housewives, which is why Jill Zarin showed up this evening to.
Did she?
Yeah, that was the only donor that I saw that Nene brought in, Jill and her husband.
I can't keep my housewives separate.
I don't know. They're from New York, so she and her husband came in. She's the one that bought one of Nene's hats for like $500. I'm like, why are you only asking $500?
But she's haggling with her. I give you $420. What do you think? $415. Will you sign it? Do you have another hat? Anyway.
And that's just the thing about the Real Housewives. Now, Jill Zarin and her husband really seem to have some money. Mm-hmm. But like the rest of them, you definitely can see that they don't really have money. And the Atlanta cast is a big one. I mean, like Nene and her husband, you know, there's not real money there. Sheree, you know, she's divorced from some NFL player, Bob Whitfield or some crap like that. And, you know, she doesn't have any money. Most of them don't have any money, even though they're on those shows. So she can't really go to them and ask for any money.
That's true. But she is still loud and sounds good on a promo. See, like, for example, the Joan Rivers Poker Annie year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I cannot remember Annie's last name.
Duke or Dukes.
The poker player. She was not famous, but she raised a lot of money and she was good on promos because Joan hated her. That works out. The Dawn girl that's on in Playboy, she's not going anywhere. She's not loud.
Her name's Hope.
Is it Hope?
You don't even know her name.
There you go. Exactly. See?
I thought you didn't have a problem remembering the names of Playboy playmates.
She's never on the show. That's the thing. How much FaceTime did she get tonight?
Not a lot. Because
I will bet.
I mean, I'm not saying that she really didn't do anything. I don't even know what she painted. I'm sure she did some hats or whatever. But
okay, if she didn't paint up her entire chestal region and push it onto a canvas, I'm not going to remember it. And I think that's what she should have done. Okay, that's what I mean. If you take out the boardroom scenes, she was probably in this show in terms of close-ups or you know, shots of her or maybe her and somebody else, two shots. I'd say less than 90 seconds. I forgot she was on. Like Richard Hatch for the last 2 weeks. He has been down incognito. Nobody has seen him until it came time to vote him out.
Yeah, he seemed to be, you know, kind of laying low.
And when they voted him out, it's like, I didn't even get to talk. You're gone. Okay, so everybody...
Yeah, but it wasn't a pretty obvious error that Trump wanted to keep Busey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, everybody on his team said, get rid of him, you know, for future tasks. He's not because focused.
They're playing to win. Trump's playing for ratings.
Right.
And Busey equals ratings.
Oh, definitely. Much more so than Richard Hatch. No one's tuning in to see him. But, you know, seeing Gary Busey be all batshit Gary Busey, yeah, it's entertaining.
Meatloaf
has
energized his karmic peanuts to the tune. I don't know what he said. It was great stuff.
I'm trying to remember last season when it was so obvious that Trump was keeping someone on there. I can't remember who it was.
Well, you remember that one year that going to the Final Four, it was Joan Rivers and Poker Annie, and then the guy that slept around on Sandra Bullock, who she never came on the show, Jesse James.
That was last year, wasn't it? Wasn't he there with Bret Michaels?
No, it was Bret Michaels and Holly Robinson Peete.
No, I didn't mean like in the final two. I just meant...
No. I believe this was before.
Oh, I don't remember.
But anyway, and then there was somebody else. I don't remember who the other person was. But they go to the Final Four, and Trump just holds a quick interview. And like, all right, Jesse, other person, get out of here. Let's, you know, we're down to... It's... It's a ratings event. Unless you're going to do something stupid like Gene Simmons did that time where he basically demanded to be fired. You know, you're going to stay if you can deliver
that
money
was
or ratings.
Very, very disappointing. That was like over the Kodak challenge, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Yeah, good, because, you know, following Gene Simmons' career and reading his books and, you know, the fact that there probably isn't any product that's been made that hasn't had the KISS logo on it.
I'm holding a KISS colostomy bag right now, in fact. Yes.
It was very disappointing that he didn't do well. Eh,
he got what he wanted and got out of there. But anyway, yeah, Richard Hatch, you don't lose anything. When you lose Hopi Dawn, what's her name?
Hope.
Okay, when you lose her next week, you're not really going to miss anything. It's going to build up for the ratings, and everybody on there now actually can add something in terms of ratings or money. And nobody wants to work with Gary, but you don't want to get rid of Gary because Gary makes great promos. Gary's gibberish babbling, when you boil it down to like 6 seconds in the middle of a 30-second commercial for that show, is just perfect. I mean, it's like the right amount of spice in something you're cooking. Do you disagree?
No, guess not. I was just thinking about you cooking with any type of spices other than Italian.
Do you see
seasoning.
What I just said with you cooking? Because I wasn't actually sure of what to say. If I, you know, if I said soups or stews or casserole, that's a thing,
tuna.
Right? Is a casserole a thing? Did I hear that somewhere?
Yeah. Okay. It's something that you would need. It has many ingredients.
Okay, my experience with casserole comes from...
If it has more than two ingredients, I think you just don't need it.
I don't want to have to ask questions. I don't want to have to examine it. Just want to look at it, be able to totally tell what it is, eat it or not eat it. My experience with this comes from growing up. My father was a minister, growing up in the church with family night suppers. And Presbyterian family night suppers are like this. There's a long table and there's like 8 boxes of chicken on it, which is great. You know, I love the chicken. And then there's some yellow shit at the end of it, as George Carlin said, just a big glob of yellow shit that nobody really knows what it is. And there's like 2 or 3 casseroles and there's stuff that... It's like it is food that you like, but there's other stuff in it that you would never eat in a billion years that somebody's just trying to experiment. Nobody experiments at home. They experiment in a giant bucket and take it to church and see who survives. Because then at least that way, you know, you get karma points. If you poison somebody at church, you get a funny story out of it later. You can pray for forgiveness the next morning.
I think it's kind of like the casserole that someone probably brought to them, you know, when they had a death in the family and they stuck it in the freezer because they didn't want to eat it. And then like a church event like that's the perfect, you know, I don't want to make anything. I'll just pull that shit out of the freezer and let it thaw out.
Oh,
take
Melanie,
it in.
What's in your casserole? Oh, God only knows. Yes, exactly.
It's a family secret. Sorry, yeah. I can't give it the recipe.
You pass it around like a fruitcake. Exactly. Yes. Where were we? Gary Busey. Insane. And we
speaking
love him.
Fruitcake.
Yeah, speaking of fruitcakes. Yes. And Richard Hatch is gone and no one cares. He has no fans.
No.
I mean, and this is not... This is not a level competition we're talking about for the Celebrity Apprentice.
It just reminds me of the first week with David Cassidy, you know, Richard pushing David Cassidy and him, you know, getting so offended.
He is tiny.
Picking on the little guy.
He was. Hey, Richard Hatch earned money for his charity, though, didn't he?
He did.
Or did he lose?
No, they lost that week. You're right.
Yeah. So he did nothing. And now, isn't he in jail again now?
He is back in jail, and that's how I knew he wasn't going to make it to the final two.
That's the thing.
I did hear that Trump had offered to like help in some way, though.
Paying it off.
He actually did kind of act like that he would give him money. I don't know.
But then Trump demanded to see where Richard Hatch was born. He didn't have a certificate of live birth, and it kind of all went downhill from there. Okay, so they go to the boardroom, and both teams did incredibly well. There were no losers. Everybody made money. The guys made like 600 grand. The women made 900 grand, almost a million.
$14,000 shy of $1 million.
And Star Jones still doesn't realize Marlee Matlin is deaf and you can't whisper in her ear.
That's funny.
That was pretty funny. we're watching it and we go, well, okay, everybody did well. And they've done it before where he can't call a loser and he has to just hold what he's got. You know, just stick with it. We were certain this was going to happen, right? We're looking at, okay, they've already lost Jose. There's somebody already gone for this week. He'll just declare everybody a winner. But wait.
There's more.
Marlee Matlin, king bitch, I'm telling you, she's got a dark side.
I thought that was awesome because I really expected the women to be like, oh no, everybody's a winner. Don't let it. Yeah. We don't want to fire anybody. Everybody did so well. I actually thought that was pretty awesome that she was just like, no, somebody should be fired.
Well, okay. Somebody should be fired. And they ask him about it and they go, no, no, no. Gary Busey should stay. He works hard. He's got a great heart. Etc. You should vote Richard Hatch out. Why? Because they know that they can beat Gary Busey anytime.
I agree. I mean, he is, because they're probably not going to do another fundraising task like this for a while.
Right. They're going to do something where they have to build something.
Right.
Or they have to get somewhere in a certain time period. And Busey is not good at that. Busey is not good at organized thought. And
You know what's going to happen. Busey's going to stick around just long enough that he ends up on Marley's team.
Oh, I can bet that's going to happen already. And see, that's the thing. The women are voting off or get a chance to help get rid of one of the men. Well, you know, after another 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, they'll split them up. I mean, if somebody goes on a run here for the next 2 or 3 weeks, the teams will be
right
uneven.
Right now, it's actually even, I think. There are 5 on the women's team, and I think there are 5 on the men's team since they lost Jose and Richard.
I think there's 4 on the men's team now. There's Little John.
Okay. No, because McGrath was standing up, too.
McGrath, Little John, Busey, John Rich. Am I missing anybody?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf. That's 5. And so there's 5 on the women's team.
Yeah.
So another 3 or 4 weeks, they'll break the teams up again. But that was a nice little screw you. We want to win from the women's team, you know. And it's not, you earn money for your charity, and if the other guy earns money for his charity, you don't earn it for yours. Yeah, I salute it. That's a nice little twist. You agree?
I do. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't really think Trump wanted to fire anybody.
No, I think he wanted, you know, we've already lost Jose, who was useless. Let's, because now they're going to have a week where they don't fire someone. I haven't looked at the schedule, but I mean, normally these things run the correct number of weeks to get down to the final two or whatever it is. And then you have the big 7-hour final show or whatever that one was. So this may mean we have like a week where nobody gets voted out.
Yeah, probably so.
Let's see. It'll wind up in May because that's the end of the sweeps week. Sweeps, for those of you who don't know, television works in sweeps, which are ratings periods, which is why all of your favorite shows end with a cliffhanger usually in May.
Why is it called sweeps?
That's a very good question.
I'm so disappointed that you don't know the answer to that.
I have a lot of knowledge, baby, but I'm not Michael Hetrick. I don't know everything about these things.
I'm texting Hetrick now.
See if we could figure out. I don't know. It's probably because in the old days, what happened was the shows that didn't work would get swept out the door,
swept off the air.
Everybody who worked in those shows and, you know, counted on it to pay their mortgage got swept to the curb. Mm. You remember back before pre-Fox when nobody put crap on. In the summer, it was all reruns because they expected us to all be outside.
No, I was outside. I don't really remember what was on television.
Exactly.
When I was young.
Right, exactly. But then, like, August, you'd see those promos. We heard Orleans Still the One song on the other day. And I remember that from ABC commercials of, like, 1980, maybe somewhere in there, where they'd have all – you'd see, like, your shows coming back. It's like, oh, Three's Company is coming back for another year. Yeah, because back in those days, you didn't know what was coming on and going off.
I miss the Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Like everybody would be on Love Boat and they like walk straight across the island and get on Battle of the Network Stars. And it's I don't know. There's a lot more involved now. I don't want to see like, you know, the cast of Glee against the cast of Breaking Bad running an obstacle course.
Yeah, now they're just on Celebrity Rehab. And
yeah. They have other outlets.
They go
now
to VH1 pretty much because VH1 had the Celebrity Rehab. They had the Celebrity Fit Club. They had the Surreal Life, you know. Mm-hmm. And then like the D-list stars or A-list. What was that? A-list, B-list or some crap? I can't remember.
I don't. It got worse and worse. I mean,
it was kind of like the Surreal Life, but they made it a competition.
Was it the Surreal Life that spawned like everything that spawned Flavor Flav's show, which spawned
yes,
which spawned.
Well, they were on
right.
he and Brigitte Nielsen were on Surreal Life.
Strange Love right after that, right?
Oh, God, that was
and
awful.
And then somewhere along the line, they decided to give him his own dating show. And they went, well, let's give Bret Michaels one, too, because there's white strippers also. And then both those went on. And then they've got Rock of Love Charm School and the I Love New York thing that came out of Flavor Flav's show. Yeah, it's just... It's like that snake eating its own tail that you always saw in the paintings. It just after a little while, you got a bunch of Richard Hatches there. You got people that can't earn money, and they're not famous enough for Playboy anymore, and that's the problem. All right. Speaking of that, I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't even know what the competition is next week. I think that the Playboy Playmate, Hope and Faith, whatever her name is, I say she goes home. She is the smallest star remaining in the galaxy. I think she goes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's always good to make an uninformed prediction. That's what my business is all about.
I really thought, I mean, with the promos last week with Meatloaf and Gary Busey and then NeNe and Star, not really much happened with NeNe and Star this week other than NeNe, you know, kind of sniping behind her back, which is what she does best.
You got to build up. You let things lie down for a little while, and then you come back.
Well, then they're showing, you know, next week's promo is NeNe and LaToya, which, I don't know, picking on LaToya is just, it's like picking on the slow kid. I mean, she's just not.
She's not famous. LaToya has been in Playboy and was Michael Jackson's weirdest sister.
Yeah,
is that? Did I miss anything?
Well, that's pretty much it.
I mean, she's sort of the Pia Zadora of the Jacksons. There's nothing there. But she still has that. So at least, you know, people know who she is. This show is all about a Q rating, which is the Q rating is not whether people like you or don't like you. That's the number that tells people, that tells programmers, people have heard of this person. You know, Richard Hatch has a Q rating because people have heard of him. That doesn't mean they like him or they know why they like or why they've heard of him. They just, oh, yeah, wait. Naked gay dude. Yeah, okay, got him. Yeah, Richard Hatch. It might take him a minute, but that's what this show is about. And the highest Q ratings, the people that want to stick around the longest, they wind up in the finals. All right, Celebrity Apprentice. We'll come back next Sunday with more. We're going to do a little Idol this week?
Sure, yeah.
They voted off two people we detest, so.
Yeah, but not the one I really wanted to see go.
Stefano.
I really would rather have. I would have rather Naima or whatever her name was stuck around rather than Stefano. He's just horrible.
He is really, really bad.
And I really didn't mind her like little reggae performance.
I didn't either. And that's that artistry thing that they always throw out when everybody's doing the same thing over and over again. That had it. I didn't like it. I wouldn't buy it, but it was different than everything else.
I wouldn't buy it, but I mean, it was different. That Scotty McCready guy. I mean, I feel bad. I mean, I know he's just a kid, so I feel bad kind of picking on him, but
that's what he's there for.
He just, it's every week, it's exactly the same, and I can't stand the way he cocks his head to the side when he sings. It just aggravates me.
Yeah. Like he's a dog listening into a shortwave radio broadcast. Yeah. I don't mind him, but he does the same song every week.
You know, Scotty, we just admire your song, how brave you were singing the song. Like last week, or not last week, but the week before, Motown week, he had to sing a Motown song. He really didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Last week, he picks an Elton John song that had the word country in the title. He knew nothing about the song other than it just said country.
It was not even a single. It was off an album that didn't even have any top 100 singles. It was a song I've never heard of, and I've grown up on album rock radio my entire life.
I'm sure Elton John forgot he even ever, you know, wrote it or whatever.
Exactly. He's not. This week was probably the most money Elton John has ever made off of that song.
Speaking of Elton John.
Yes.
Saturday Night Live.
I don't even want to talk about Saturday Night Live. Every time I watch it, it's got like three good skits, and the rest of it is just horrible crap. Every skit was, hey, he's British, or hey, he's gay. Yeah.
He's always a singer.
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't have a wide acting range there.
I thought he was a better actor than I thought he would be.
I thought
he
was fine. But the skits around him.
Oh, I mean, he wasn't responsible for the skits. I mean, no. It's not like he's a comedy writer or something.
No, but maybe he should have brought some with him.
But Tom Hanks shows up in a cameo. And
Carmelo Anthony just walks on. And Jake Gyllenhaal was in the... I wonder if they all came... Like, if like next week when nobody we've heard of is hosting, Helen Mirren actually, who I have heard of.
And, oh, she's hosting next week?
Yeah. And she's like 72 years old with a hot, too.
She's not 72.
I don't know what she is, but she's far too old to rock the bikini hot. Like she does. You know, Tom Hanks might not show up for that. You might not get Carmelo Anthony to show up for a Helen Mirren show or Jake Gyllenhaal to drop in. But I wonder if the better your host and guests are, the more people you can get to show up and drop in. You know, I mean, I don't know if Jake Gyllenhaal gets many opportunities to meet Elton John.
Yeah, I wonder what he was doing there.
Oh, he was plugging that Source Code movie. That looks like a great movie on cable to me.
That just reminds me of that whole thing that they've got going on now about the releasing the new releases on video on demand, mm-hmm. like 60 days after the release to the theater. Mm-hmm. Would you pay $30 to see a movie? Just 30. Because, yes, it's $30 to see a movie released like DirecTV on demand, pay-per-view cut type thing. $30 just to see it, you know, because it was in the theater 2 months ago. Not unless I had
50 friends in my house paying me to.
I think that they're crazy.
They're trying to get, this is utterly not celebrity premise stuff. I know. We'll bookmark this. We'll come back to it on the general podcast. But they're trying to figure out what works now because it's harder to get people out to movies. I watch movies that either make me laugh or stuff blows up in it. I'm honest.
I might pay $15. I don't even know that I would do that because, you know me, I don't even like to get – I don't even do the pay-per-view movies on DirecTV. I'll go out to the Redbox and get them for $1.
Yeah, right. I pay our cable bill and our DirecTV bill, whether
it's high enough.
We pay a crap load every month. I'm not going to go out and spend $30 on a new movie. To begin with, there is no new movie that I want to see. I've seen movies. I'm not that impressed with them, to be honest with you. They're good movies. They're bad movies. I wouldn't pay that kind of money to see a movie.
You're definitely much more of a TV person than a movie person.
I am.
TV
is better right now than it has ever been in our lifetimes.
I agree.
And there are people out there, oh, they're just crap on TV. Well, yeah, there's always some crap on TV. There's always, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter Gets Mange or whatever the hell that show is. There's always those things.
Yeah, but then you've got a Breaking Bad.
You've had The Shield. You've had Justified. You've had Nip Tuck. You had Lost all the way up until the last episode. You know, you have really good shows that that appeal to adults. And I have a daughter. I don't care about television for her. She has her own shows. There are like 20 channels of crap I wouldn't watch in a billion years. Breaking Bad is for me. It's for you. It's for adults. Adults shouldn't have to, you know, be relegated to just like HBO's channels. We should be able to watch quality television. You know, it makes me a little bit nervous if they were to show, you know, Breaking Bad reruns at 3 o'clock in the afternoon as the kids are getting home from school. That would make me nervous, but put it on at night, I'm totally okay with that.
Oh, I think Breaking Bad's a pretty good deterrent for drugs.
kids don't get it. They don't get
it. It's like the TV form of A Simple Plan.
It really is.
Normal people trying to do something illegal and everything that could go wrong possibly.
Right. Nothing ever finishes correctly.
Yeah.
Even when it looks like it is. Something happens at the last second. But kids don't get that. You know, it'll be a copy of a copy. Hey, let's study chemistry so we can make our own mobile meth lab. Mm-hmm. Yay.
That works out well.
Yes. All right. Tell you what. Let's step away. Remember this. We'll do this on the general podcast later on. We'll talk American Idol later on this week. Stucky and I will be back with the official Donkey Taco general podcast at some point this week also. So it was a tremendous week for me last week. We'll give details later on. That's why we're getting off, because my feet hurt and I'm tired of standing here. All right. More coming up later. Hope you enjoyed Celebrity Apprentice. I vote the Playboy Playmate off next week. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see you back here next Sunday.
Have a good week.